Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, January the 17th. Good morning. As we just heard in state news, there was a public hearing yesterday at the state capitol on a bill that would lower the hunting age in Wisconsin. Should 10-year-olds be allowed to hunt in Wisconsin? The proposal would lower the hunting age in the state from 12 to 10. We will talk first with a proponent of the legislation and after 6:30, someone who opposes this idea. And we want to hear your thoughts and questions for both of our guests. Is this a good idea or not to lower the hunting age in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234. That's toll free from wherever you're listening, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our first guest this morning is Dan Gunderson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Outdoor Alliance, also co-host of a radio program, a syndicated radio show broadcast throughout the Midwest, The Big Wild. He supports the bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. And now, this bill was authored by Republican State Representative Scott Gunderson of Waterford. Any relation?
No, actually. Well, probably, maybe back in the old country, but not here.
Just thought I would, same last name.
Sure.
Now, this is a second attempt at this, as we heard in state news, a proposal that would have lowered the legal age, hunting age in Wisconsin to 8. Passed the assembly last session, but didn't come up for a vote on the Senate floor. This new bill now lowers it to 10 rather than 8.
Correct.
Why lower the hunting age?
Well, let's start, you know, logically. First of all, 33 states out of the 50 have no minimum hunting age. 33 states have no minimum hunting age. Mm-hmm. Iowa just recently eliminated the hunting age minimum, and Minnesota did as well for small game. So this is not a new or radical idea, but Wisconsin's trying to take a step, and we focus on the age, but what Wisconsin's trying to do is take a step to create the safest law in the country that also encourages youth to be involved in the outdoors. And it's the safest because what it says is the mentored youth has to be within arm's reach of a licensed adult.
Mm-hmm.
And currently the law is if you're 12, you have to be within eyesight or earshot, and you both are armed. So the point is that this will be the safest law, but also it will encourage kids to get involved in the outdoors. And what studies have shown, the federal government and others, is that kids aren't involved in the outdoors before the age of 12, they likely won't be as adults.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an important incentive to get kids out there to enjoy what the hunting heritage is in Wisconsin.
Yeah, why not require the 10-year-olds to also have some sort of hunter safety course? That's not a part of this.
Well, you know, 10-year-olds can take hunter safety. I mean, it's not a prohibition against it, I don't believe. But what it says is that someone who is trained, it gets the youth out into the outdoors mm-hmm. to see if they like the sport, if
mm-hmm.
they enjoy it. And you are with someone who's sitting there and with only one firearm, that adult is there for one reason, and that's to make sure that that youth is doing the right thing.
Yeah. Why can't the kids, the 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds, just go out with dad or gramps and not actually shoot an animal, but just be a part of the hunting party?
Well, they can.
Yeah,
they
but
can.
Why isn't that good enough?
But the actual activity of learning how to safely handle a firearm, you learn more from your parent about the safe way to handle a firearm than any other person in your life, and that's just the way things are. I grew up in a state where the age was 12, and there's nothing like actually participating in the sport. So I think if you want to ignite that interest, that passion, and there are a whole lot of other reasons, including economic reasons, why people in the state of Wisconsin need to be interested in this issue.
Yeah, what are those economic issues?
Well, if you look at hunting is the largest segment of hunting and fishing of the third largest industry in the state, which is tourism. All of our natural areas, whether you hunt or fish or not, if you hike, bike, kayak, whatever you do, those resources are funded by hunters and fishermen or anglers. We're only replacing, for every 10 hunters who retire from the sport, We're replacing them with six, or a little less than six. So funding, and this is a very real issue, Joy, for conservation in the future is in jeopardy. And if we don't replace these people, we're either going to have to find another way to fund conservation, or we're going to have to dramatically increase fees. The more hunters we lose, then you also look at the other economic factors. You're going to have more deer, for example. You have more car accidents. It's a cycle that people focus on the age, but they kind of miss the rest of the issue.
We're talking with Dan Gunderson. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Outdoors Alliance. He supports a bill to lower the legal hunting age in Wisconsin from 12 to 10. He is telling us why, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Do you like this proposal or not? Why or why not? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, January the 17th. Yesterday at the state capitol, there was a public hearing on a bill that would lower the legal hunting age in Wisconsin from 12 to 10. We are talking in this half hour with a guest who supports this idea. Supports this legislation. After 6:30, we will hear from a guest from the Humane Society of the United States who opposes the legislation, and we want to hear from you, too. Well, what do you think of this idea to lower the hunting age in Wisconsin? Our guest in this half hour says this would be good for Wisconsin in terms of getting more young people involved in the outdoors and involved in the tradition of hunting, more young people getting involved in this sport, meaning good things for the economy and good things for conservation. We wonder if you agree or not. Our guest coming up after 6:30, I know Dan Gunderson, will say that he thinks this is risky, that this is unsafe to have 10-year-olds with guns in the woods, that 10-year-olds just aren't capable of handling this kind of weapon and this kind of activity.
Well, I've interviewed literally 24 or more people who have had children who under the age of 10 who have actually successfully harvested game, and it's been proven in 33 other states that the age is not the factor; it's the mentor that is the factor. And I think that, Joy, there's another aspect to this that we miss, which is this legislation would apply to a 25-year-old who's never hunted but is interested in hunting and would be accompanied by a licensed adult who would mentor that person as well. So it's about doing it the right way, and that's really what I think people need to focus on. And add to the fact that I believe the DNR yesterday testified to the fact that, and I know Representative Gunderson did, that mentored youth, regardless of age, are the safest category of hunters in the country. In other words, the incidence of problems is the least among those folks. And so, you know, the record, the facts show that we have a good case to make, and it's important for the state. And it gets the kids out of the house, gets them out. And while you can accompany dad hunting or mom hunting, there's nothing like actually participating in it. And not in this case, dad or mom is going to be there for one reason and one reason only, and that's to make sure that youth does it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some calls. Daryl in Wautoma joins us first. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
What do you think of this idea?
I think it's a great idea. My son's been hunting with me and sitting in the stand with me since he was seven, and I grew up hunting with my father, and it was a big excitement to turn 12 and actually be able to harvest an animal. But my son and having the right mentor, as the gentleman was saying with you today, I think it would bring more excitement into the younger age to go out and do so.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, how old is your son now?
My son is 11. He turns 12 this November.
So he'll be hunting in the fall?
Yes. Yeah. So to me personally, you know, since he's going to be old enough to hunt, you know, I'm not looking at the fact of my son, but the other, you know, kids that are out there that it would, you know, be all right doing this. And the age, it's like, it's all about the mentor. I mean, if the mentor is safe on handling a firearm, you know, no one wants an accident to happen. I mean, we recently had an accident in Washera County where someone did, you know, was injured and did lose his life by means of a firearm, and that's a tragic thing. It doesn't matter what the age is. It's all in safety and how you handle a gun, and it's common sense.
Yeah. Thanks, Daryl. Your reaction, Dan Gunderson?
Well, we hear this all the time in the discussion of this, and I appreciate Daryl's comments. It's about families and tradition. I can't emphasize this enough. Folks who haven't hunted kind of miss the underlying factor here, which is the tradition of hunting in Wisconsin is truly about a cultural thing, and it's about families, and it's about doing it the right way. You can't learn how to handle a firearm safely unless you actually handle a firearm. And the best way to do it is to have mom or dad there to show them and to work with them. And 10 or 12 or 8, as in other states, has been shown to be safe as long as there's a mentor with them.
Yeah. So why is it, Dan Gunderson, that with parents like Daryl out there who's been mentoring his son since he's been about 7, he said, how come we're seeing a decline in hunters in Wisconsin?
Well, there's competing factors. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when there wasn't much hockey around, but right now, kids are being taken to hockey rinks at 6 in the morning on Sunday. You're competing with all sorts of other issues like single-parent homes. Sports are year-round. We used to play all four sports, and hunting was one of those four. Now people just play soccer all year long. And so you're competing with other issues, and I think kids are missing out on a healthy activity. I think when you mentioned earlier, why can't you just accompany the adult? It's the difference between watching the Ferris wheel or actually riding the Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I think we're talking about.
Robert in Fond du Lac is with us now. Hi, Robert.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is a very simple one. Mr. Gunderson says in 33 other states that there are no age limits on hunters. Now, can he give me a percentage of hunting accidents on children below the age of 12 that might be involved in hunting accidents?
Well, I don't have the number handy, but what I can tell you, and there was testimony yesterday, youths under the age of 16 nationally are the safest category of hunters in America when accompanied by an adult. That's just where the statistics are. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has compiled that data. So they are the safest when accompanied by an adult. We're not saying to have a 10-year-old go out with a shotgun by themselves and without someone there with them. And in this case, remember, it's within arm's reach, which isn't the current law, and there's only one firearm between the two of them. So in the case of pheasant hunting, for example, I'm going to be walking by my son 3 feet away, and he's going to have a firearm, and all I'm there to do is make sure that he's doing the right thing or she's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about someone who might not be as responsible as you and just says, hey, here's the gun and see you at sunset or something?
Well, if people want to be irresponsible with the law, an 8-year-old can go out with a firearm today right now if the adult wants to encourage that or look the other way. The law won't change that behavior. But I think that if you spend time with hunters, you're going to find that they have a true reverence and respect for that firearm because they understand the consequences.
Yeah. Are there, though, penalties or consequences if you're not within arm's length and you're not sharing a gun and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are penalties for it. I don't know the exact fine or whatever it is, but the intent is not to create problems. It's to help solve problems and to get kids involved in the sport in an exciting way that keeps them involved in the future and also helps fund our conservation.
Thanks to Robert. Randy in Madison is next. Hi.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I think this is a very important bill. Hunting has been very important and an integral component of Wisconsin's history, culture, and economy. And for over 120 years, hunters have been on the forefront of conservation. And we really need to look at this carefully because we need four things for the future of hunting. We need to have healthy wildlife, hunters, access to a place to hunt, and a public that accepts hunting. So one of the first things we have to evaluate is the safe and the conditions that this bill creates. You know, the one gun, arm's length, only can mentor one person. That makes this safe. And so then that moves you to the next place and say, okay, is this going to be effective? And the research, if you look at it, at the end of the day, shows that it takes a hunter to make a hunter, and that mentoring is a very important component of hunting participation for future generations. So I think the other part that sometimes we miss, it's a little bit imperceptible, is this: the whole aging of the baby boomer generation is also part of this, in that, you know, just like the rest of the country is aging, so is our hunting community. And so we have a window of opportunity in the next decade where we have the largest number of mentors that we're probably going to have to pass this tradition on to future generations. And, you know, hunting is a great family opportunity. It's a great opportunity to spend quality time with family and friends outdoors. It's a great way to pass the conservation ethic on. It's an important part of Wisconsin's tradition. And this is a very important program that's being put forward. And some people are focusing too much on that. This bill actually doesn't lower the hunting age. The minimum hunting age stays where it is. The only thing this does is creates another opportunity for adults to consider and make a decision whether they want to, under these very controlled conditions, to take a young person out hunting and give them that, let them test drive it, if you will, yeah, without a great expenditure of time. Because one of the things that people see is time is a big deal these days.
It sounds like Randy should have been testifying yesterday.
Sounds like he should have been doing this phone call. I think he made a point that we should reemphasize. This legislation says one mentor, one youth, or one mentored individual. It's not an adult and, you know, three 10-year-olds or three 25-year-olds who've never hunted. It's one-to-one. This will be the safest law in the country as far as hunting is concerned. And it will do the things that people want, which is spur interest in hunting by that next generation. And Randy's comments were right on. Mm-hmm. We're all aging. Unfortunately, I am, and we have a small window of opportunity.
And one more, Tim and Racine, before our newscast. Hi, Tim. Tim.
Tim's not there.
Tim decided not to do it. Well, we have about a minute to go. He said, our last caller, that we need a public that accepts hunting. Do you think the public in Wisconsin accepts hunting and will accept this 10-year-old hunting proposal?
Well, I think I have to be critical of myself in this and others. We need to get the word out, and I appreciate this opportunity, this forum. We need to tell people about this law, and once they understand, or this legislation, that it will be safer, then they will accept it. And certainly hunting is part of the cultural tradition here. I mean, hunting to me is not about bagging a deer. It's about going to the cabin and playing cribbage and being with aunts and uncles and friends. It is a cultural phenomenon here more than any other state. And I grew up in Minnesota, and I can tell you that, you know, they call it Holy Week and that facetiously. But the fact is, it is a part of families and the culture of the state and the economy.
We're going to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Dan Gunderson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Outdoors Alliance. More on this with a different guest after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 now on this Thursday, January the 17th. And we will continue our public radio public hearing on this proposal to lower the hunting age in Wisconsin from 12 to 10. The legislation received a public hearing at the state capitol yesterday, and we heard from our guest in our first half hour who supports the proposal, and we will hear from a guest in this half hour who does not. And we will continue to take your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next guest is Andrew Page, director of the hunting campaign at the Humane Society of the United States. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, did you testify yesterday?
I did not.
Yeah, but why are you, or why is the Humane Society against this proposal?
Well, to give you some background, the number of hunters in this country has been on a steady decline for decades, and the efforts, as we see with this, are an effort by the hunting industry to shore up the numbers and ensure revenue by recruiting children younger and younger.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with recruiting children younger and younger?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they lack the mental and emotional maturity to take part in an activity like hunting, and it requires split-second life-and-death decisions.
Mm-hmm. Now, our guest in our last half hour says that there are 33 other states, they don't even have a minimum hunting age. Many states have lower hunting ages than Wisconsin. Wisconsin's proposal would be the safest law in the country along these lines.
Well, this has been a national effort that's been going on for a few years, and as I've said, the numbers of hunters in this country have been in a decline, and this is a concerted effort by the hunting industry to go state by state and lower the minimum hunting age. The organization is called Families Afield. It's made up of several large hunting organizations, and they're going state by state trying to lower the minimum hunting age, eliminate the minimum hunting age in some cases, or exempt mm-hmm. children from hunter safety courses.
Yeah. Now, why isn't this good for kids who are in a family that likes to hunt to go out with an adult, a dad, a relative, and be mentored? You have to be within arm's length, only one gun between the adult and the child. What's wrong with that?
Well, governments regularly establish rules to protect children and the general public from avoidable danger. Situations like riding in a car, we require that adults put their children in safety seats, or that children wear safety belts. We require prerequisite coursework and minimum ages for driving and for voting and for buying cigarettes and alcohol. There's decisions that children simply should not be able to be making. Life and death decisions. Carrying a weapon in the woods is potentially dangerous to children and those around them.
Yeah. Are you... I guess somebody's going to ask this, so I might as well. You're not necessarily against this proposal as much as the Humane Society is against hunting in general?
Well, thanks for asking that question. I'm glad that it came up. The Humane Society is the nation's largest animal protection organization. We have over 10 million members and supporters across the country. When it comes to the hunting issue, we put our resources toward curbing the worst abuses. Mm-hmm. Some of these abuses are things like internet hunting, killing animals over the internet, or canned hunting, killing animals who are trapped within enclosures, or contest kills where a game is made of killing the most animals that you can. We target those abusive practices.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have lots of callers. Let's see what Kurt and Earl, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a couple points I'd like to make. First of all, from an environmental standpoint, you always hear environmentalist circles, we need to buy local, get close to our food supply. And I can't think of a better way to get close to your local food supply, except hunting. I mean,
And
the second point is, there's something about taking the life of an animal, about watching it die, that makes you appreciate life more. I mean, it's real. It's not like sitting in a classroom learning abstract concepts. You become connected. You appreciate life more. And thirdly, when you learn the behavior of an animal, you become more ecologically conscious. You learn their food supply, you learn weather, and all of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to link this to the topic, and I assume Kurt says it's good that a younger person, a 10-year-old, can learn all this. Andrew Page.
Thanks, and thanks, Kurt. Those are great points to make. I think that it's a complicated topic, and when it comes to the food supply, and I think that learning behaviors of animals doesn't necessarily mean that you need to shoot them. I bird watch. I go into the wild. I hike. I participate in the natural world, and I choose to not kill animals. I think that you can learn about the behaviors of animals. You can learn about nature without taking a life.
Mm. Thank you, Kurt. Another Kurt. This one in Appleton. Good morning.
Good morning. I really appreciate the thoughtful comments from both guests. I am having a little bit of a hard time understanding why we would create a generation of hunters who would not have gone through hunter safety. As the previous guest mentioned, the safest group has been the under 16 group with an adult, but that includes hunter safety, and now we're talking about eliminating that.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that's entirely true. I think it was that the 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds didn't have to have the hunter safety course, but could get this mentoring until they're 12, and then they'd have to take a hunter safety. I think that's what happens.
All right. Well, that would certainly sound more logical. On the other hand, you're still creating a cadre of hunters out there who would not have really been through hunter safety. The advantage of hunter safety being, of course, you've got more of a uniform type of training, whereas if you count on the mentor, you really are throwing it out there to what the quality of the mentor is. And I agree with a previous guest that that's a great way to train a person, but it does really depend on the mentor, and there's no selection of what quality of mentor you have. So from a standpoint of safety, which Mr. Page was alluding to earlier, it just sounds like a little bit more of a dicey approach to preparing your hunter.
Mm-hmm. A reaction, Andrew Page?
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. Mm-hmm. The implementation of these mandatory safety courses has been credited in previous years for reducing the number of accidents every year in this country. Even the national group that oversees hunter safety courses, the International Hunter Education Association, has not endorsed these efforts to lower the minimum hunting age in any state. So it's definitely something we need to take a step back at and take a look at. How are mentors, mentees trained? What are those minimum course requirements? And whether or not the Families Afield organization says on their website that they see prerequisite coursework as a barrier to hunting, I see it as a required safety training that they should be taking part in.
We are talking with Andrew Page, director of the hunting campaign at the Humane Society of the United States. He's telling us why the Humane Society is against a proposal that is being considered in the Wisconsin legislature, a bill to lower the hunting age in Wisconsin from 12 to 10. Had a public hearing yesterday. The bill is authored by Republican State Representative Steve Gunderson of Waterford. We heard from a guest who supported the idea in our first half hour. Now we're finding out why some oppose it. And we welcome your thoughts and questions. Do you like this idea or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we will talk with two guests who have differing views on a proposal to raise the federal gas tax as much as 40 cents a gallon to help pay for roads and infrastructure. Is this a good idea or not? That's after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're wondering what we think about this idea, this proposal to lower Wisconsin's hunting age to 10 from 12 under this proposal that got a public hearing yesterday at the state capitol. A 10 or 11-year-old child could go hunting with an adult mentor. They would have to stay within an arm's length of the adult mentor, and the adult and child would only be able to use one gun between them. Talking with a guest who says kids that age aren't ready for this kind of activity, and he opposes the bill. And our next caller is Karen in Milwaukee. Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wildly opposed to this idea. I'm a mother. I can't imagine giving a child that age a gun, whether I'm standing next to him or her or not. But I want to comment on something that your guest the last half hour said, and that is how safe this is, and particularly in other states where they have lowered the age or they have no minimum age. And what the guest didn't tell you was it was lowered in Utah, and last year a 9-year-old shot and killed an uncle. It's low in Iowa, and a 7-year-old died. Last year in Minnesota, an 11-year-old shot a trucker in an accident. And these are all out there on the net. They're in newspapers. I don't think it's as safe as they would have us believe. These kids are 2 years out of a car seat. They're not equipped to handle that kind of a weapon. And under no other circumstances would we as a society allow this. So there's just too many opportunities for error. So I'd like to thank you for taking my call.
No, thanks for calling. Are you aware of these incidents, Andrew Page?
Not specifically, but thank you for your call, Karen. We do pay attention to see all the accidents that are popping up on the web. Unfortunately, there are a slew of them. Since 1999, nearly a quarter of the fatal hunting accidents involve someone under the age of 21. So this is not an issue that we can overlook. Younger and younger children simply lack the emotional maturity to handle a firearm safely.
Next, we go to Ray in Milwaukee. Hello, Ray.
Well, I'm going to throw a curve at you here. I think I'm 90% for this legislation to lower the age, and this is why. My father was a farmer in North Carolina. He and all of his brothers learned to hunt and fish between the ages of about 6 and 8. They had to do it to supply food for their family. They're a very, very poor family, about 10 kids in the family. My father moved up here to Milwaukee. He bought a farm. And I, as a teenager, got to spend a lot of time on that farm where we did shooting. There was deer hunting from our property, and we also did a lot of target practicing. We used guns as tools the way they were meant to be used. Now, this is an interesting twist. I moved back to Milwaukee. My girlfriend was a Brazilian. She had a little boy from Brazil. I raised that child. He got to come to our farm. And he saw the weapons being used. He himself, as a little boy, a gun was never put in his hand, but he saw us and he saw how we used them and he understood what a gun was. He went to Cass Street School on Milwaukee's east side. In third grade, an eighth grader came to school and started shooting on the playground.
Ray, what does this have to do now with the proposal?
My son recognized what a gun sound was and he ran away from it. The other children on the playground had not been exposed to guns. They thought it was a firecracker going off. They ran towards the shooting. So when children are exposed, the only exposure they get of weapons is video games or on TV. They really don't understand it. But if a child is with you on a hunt, maybe the child is not going to use the gun on the hunt.
Yeah.
But he sees the violence of it, and they understand what it's for.
Yeah, Ray, we're going on and on a little bit far afield here, but right now a 10-year-old or I think even younger than that can go out into the woods with a hunting party if dad is there or whatever and can hear what a gun sounds like. But this proposal would allow that 10-year-old to actually shoot the gun. Andrew Page?
Yeah, I think you can very easily teach a child about the difficulties and the dangers of guns without handing one to them.
Yeah, Pat in Fort Atkinson, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I am an elementary school principal. I've worked with 10-year-olds for 30 years, and I would not put a gun in a child's hand of that age. I also don't believe that it makes sense to have them not required to take hunter safety when we require the 12-year-old to take hunter safety.
Right. They're just, it's a test drive. It's being mentored and learning about this before taking the formal hunter safety course.
Yeah. I am against that legislation, and in fact, I think it is a danger to our children, and Wisconsin has been known for protecting their children, and I do not believe that this is a good law.
Okay, neither do you, Andrew.
That's right. Thank you, Pat.
Now, it's funny, almost all of our callers in our first half hour were for it, and now we're hearing from those who oppose it. I guess it depends on the guest. Kathleen in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. One of the things that excuse me, I believe that's not being addressed, and I believe it is in the bill, that after it passes legislation for the age of 10, that the DNR has the ability to lower the age to whatever they feel is appropriate without it going back into legislation. And I don't believe that they do have to go through a process, but it does not have to be publicized. I'm not sure about that. But we lose control of what age can be out there. Mm-hmm. I think 10 is way too low, and to think that an agency can lower it even further is beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, that's right. It does say that the bill would allow the State Department of Natural Resources to write administrative rules to further lower the hunting age.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you for taking my call.
I think that that's a recipe for disaster. Last year, 2006, an effort was made to lower the minimum hunting age to 8, and it thankfully it failed. So, you know, this is an effort that we're going to see. If it fails this year, we're going to see it again and again and again. This is a national effort to lower the minimum hunting age in just about every state. Mm-hmm.
Scott in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hey, I agree with the guest that the minimum age should remain. But isn't it legal right now for parents to bring their kids with them hunting? I didn't understand, because my nephews go with us when we go, and
yes,
they're under.
Yes, but
the
they're not supposed to shoot
to fire
a gun.
The gun.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
this would allow them to fire the gun.
Okay, I just wasn't sure of that.
That's right. Thanks a lot for your call. I grew up in rural Illinois, and I grew up hunting, and I actually went along before I was carrying a weapon and took the hunter safety courses before I actually began hunting. So, this is simply seen as a way to recruit new hunters. It's all the evidence shows that hunters don't pick up hunting late in life. That generally, the younger that a young hunter starts hunting, the more likely they are to continue hunting throughout their life. This is an effort by a lobby group and pro-hunting organization to shore up the numbers of hunters in this country, because that participation in hunting has been on a steady decline in the United States for decades. In some states, it's less than 1% of the population hunting.
Yeah. The proponents of this legislation readily admit that they think it's a shame that with so many competing interests and such that fewer and fewer young people are getting involved in this heritage or culture of hunting, this sport of hunting. And they say it's important not only for the child to continue this conservation ethic and to learn about the outdoors and conservation ethic, it's good for the environment in a particular state because of all the money that does go not only to hunting but to other conservation issues, and it pays for a lot of environmental issues.
Well, it's definitely a complicated issue. However, their efforts to shore up the numbers is at the expense of child safety.
Yeah. And your evidence that this is at the expense of child safety is?
Well, I can tell you that the most recent numbers that I have in front of me from the International Hunter Education Association were 2004, and that there were 445 hunting accidents. 42 of them were fatal. At least 72 involved children. So as more and more children are mm-hmm. able to be in the field with weapons, we would expect to see that number increase. The question begs, how many children can be injured or will be injured or killed while hunting for this purpose? I think zero mm-hmm. is the only acceptable answer.
Yeah. Ryan in Eau Claire, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I guess I would just like to, I'm kind of a testimony to, my dad took me hunting when I was young, and I probably shot a gun when I was maybe 9 or 10 years old for the first time, and my dad instilled a good respect for firearms at a young age, and now I'm, you know, in my 20s, and I respect the gun, you know, very highly. But someone that doesn't handle a gun, they don't have a respect for the power that is in it. So I think with good mentorship, I think it's a necessity for our culture in this state and for our society. And it's a good bonding experience with mentors or your parents or whoever it is that you're doing this with. So I think it's a I don't think any younger than 10, but I do think that with good mentorship, it is a safe practice.
Final word on this, Andrew Page?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. You know, I think that there are some parents who can make and will make good decisions and sound decisions, but unfortunately others will not, and that's why we have regulations and rules in place to protect children, like car safety seats, safety belts, not allowing them to drink until they're a certain age, not allowing them to drive until they're a certain age. We need to take steps to protect children.
Well, we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for yours, Andrew Page.
Thank you.
Andrew Page, director of the Hunting Campaign at the Humane Society of the United States, which is against this proposal in Wisconsin to lower the hunting age from 12 to 10. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening and calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.